This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I'm very pleased to welcome two authors of a new piece in the Tablet magazine. First, Michael Duran, a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, and second, Tony Badran, of the Levant analyst of Tablet. He's at a research fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, applying themselves to the Biden foreign policy to do with the Middle East, especially Iran, especially the discarded Iran deal of 2015 that is back in discussion, we're told, in a hotel in Vienna and across the Atlantic with the U.S. allies. Gentlemen, a very good evening to you. There are new players who are old players in the presentation you make in the Tablet magazine. So I'll start with you, Michael. Who is Antony Blinken in this affair? He's the Secretary of State, but what does he bring to these discussions between Washington and Iran? Good evening to you.
Hi, good evening, John. Thanks. Well, Tony Blinken, of course, is the Secretary of State. And what Tony Badran and I argue is that he is one of the figures in the Biden administration who puts a kind of Clintonian face on what is really a radical progressive foreign policy. That's his job. His job is to tell people who are more centrist leaning that the administration is not carrying out a progressive policy. It's got a middle of the road policy.
Tony, Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor, to my memory, he served very carefully with Mrs. Clinton in her State Department in the first Obama term. Who is he in this approach between Washington and Iran? What is his role, Tony?
So good evening to you. And Jake Sullivan basically is has the twin function of what Mike just described for Antony Blinken. Of course, Jake Sullivan was involved in the Biden presidential campaign. And as we note in the article, he had a very specific function in that campaign in that he took ideas that had been presented as a summary of sort of the Obama program in the Middle East, took them and presented them in a very centrist language and very centrist sounding article in Foreign Affairs in May 2020. And again, what Mike just described, put a Clintonian centrist face on Obama's radical agenda in the Middle East.
Fine. Now, Michael, who is Malley, Mr. Robert Malley? Who is he in this? Because he does not have what I would say is a burnished credential in the Biden administration. How does he serve in this conversation between Washington and Tehran?
Well, Rob Malley is the Iran envoy of Joe Biden, but he is also the keeper of the flame of the Obama legacy. What Tony Badran and I are arguing is that the Biden administration represents in the Middle East the third term of Barack Obama, that Biden is finishing what Obama started. And a lot of people, when they think of that, they think, well, he's bringing back the JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal. But Tony and I are arguing that, no, it's actually much bigger than that. They have a vision of a new order in the Middle East, one that involves a partnership between the United States and Iran in a number of key areas, all of the areas of chaos, Iraq, Syria, Yemen. They want to cut a deal with Iran and stabilize those areas together. So it represents a movement away from our traditional allies, Israel, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey, and a movement toward Iran. And Rob Malley is the primary architect of that intellectually. He's that's why we call him the keeper of the flame. And he also, like Jake Sullivan, wrote a foreign affairs piece. I'd recommend everyone read it, called The Unwanted Wars, in which he lays out this concept of a new order.
Tony, the fourth player whom I find in your essay is the former President Barack Obama. What is his role in this conversation today between Washington and Tehran? How does he fit into these other players who have official positions?
So the title of our piece is The Realignment, which is a description of what Mike was just talking about, a description of what Barack Obama sought to do with Iran, which is to realign U.S. interests in the Middle East away from traditional allies and in alliance or partnership with Iran. So this is his brainchild. And everything now, we talked about Malley as an intellectual architect. Malley articulates this because he is very familiar with this, has advocated for something very similar all throughout his career. And he systematizes in this foreign affairs article from November 2019, he systematizes everything that Barack Obama had pursued during his two terms. Now, the interesting thing about Barack Obama is that he did a dual approach to how to present this. He never, for instance, he never overtly came out with a big speech, an address to the nation saying America now is going to have a new Middle Eastern policy and it's going to be premised on the following. It's going to be premised on an alliance with Iran. Of course, that's a very unpopular view in the United States. So he simultaneously needed to deceive and misdirect and conceal the true intention. But at the same time, he threw crumbs and hints very openly in a series of interviews throughout his, especially in his second term, where his intentions about what he wanted to do with Iran were very, very clear.
Michael, in 2013, the dictator of Syria, Assad, used chemical weapons on his own people, and the Obama administration moved very close to launching the military against Assad. At the last moment, the president reconsidered, and Vladimir Putin stepped in to take control of chemical weapons and destroy some chemical weapons. How did that help Barack Obama move towards this policy that you and Tony call realignment? What did he see in that moment of handing off to Moscow?
Well, what he dreams of, Barack Obama, back in 2013 to 2015, is creating a concert system in the Middle East where the United States will work with Iran and Russia to stabilize these troubled areas. And the first area in which this is really tried is Syria under Obama. Rob Malley, in that foreign affairs article we mentioned, says that Obama's presidency was a half-completed experiment. And that's because it was only tried in Syria, they wanted to try it further in places like Yemen and Iraq, that is to find a partnership with the Iranians and the Russians. And what that chemical weapons deal did is it was a Potemkin policy. Obama was looking for an excuse not to attack Syria. He'd drawn the red line against Assad, said don't use chemical weapons or else. Assad used chemical weapons. Obama came under a lot of pressure to strike Assad, but he didn't want to do it because he was dreaming of this concert system. And he thought if he struck Assad, who is the ally of the Russians and the Iranians, that would spoil relations with the Russians and Iranians. And more importantly, it would spoil any prospect of the Iran nuclear deal, which he was already starting to move towards. So in order to preserve relations with the Russians and the Iranians, he called off the attack. But he needed a fig leaf in order to explain to the American people why it was okay to call off the attack. And Putin stepped in and said, here, I'll give you the fig leaf. Let's pretend to strip Assad of his chemical weapons, and therefore you can claim you got a win. And we say pretend. We now know that never happened, that the chemical weapons were never stripped from Assad. Because in 2019, Assad used sarin gas against his own population again. So what the Russians and Assad and the Iranians did is they declared, as you said, some of his chemical weapons, not all of them. And then once those were the declared ones were stripped from him, then we called it a big win when it was all a show. And what Tony and I are saying is that the JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal, is directly analogous to the to this Potemkin effort to strip Assad of his chemical weapons. We're getting some restrictions on the Iranian nuclear program for a limited amount of time, but the program, as we all know, is moving ahead even under these restrictions. The Obama administration and now the Biden administration, the Obama's administration called it a big win. The Biden administration is saying it is a big win. What it really is not an effort to strip nuclear weapons from Iran. It's an effort to create this partnership between Iran and the United States.
The realignment, yes. And Tony, just quickly, because we're going to go to two or three objections to this realignment, that would be Israel and Saudi Arabia and perhaps the American public. If I understand correctly, Tony, the JCPOA, either 1.0 or 2.0, is a method to sideline the nuclear question, I'm following your reporting, and to present it to the American people initially as containment. It's, in fact, an avenue to the realignment. Have I read you correctly, Tony?
Yes, except it wasn't even presented as containment. It was simply presented as a sort of arms control agreement, that somehow if we removed, that this was the thorniest issue. This was really the problem that was preventing us from having a conversation with the Iranians. If we could sideline this issue, then we can go ahead and have a conversation with the Iranians. Of course, as this was happening, I mean, first of all, the sanctions relief, for instance, that the deal gave to the Iranians went well beyond anything having to do with the nuclear. The late Qasem Soleimani, the IRGC figure, for instance, commander, the second most powerful man in Iran, who was killed under President Trump, for instance, he got sanctions relief under the JCPOA. So what was presented as a narrow non-proliferation agreement was simply the vehicle that the acceptable face that could be presented in public for and as a vehicle for a much, much larger agenda, which, again, they hinted at. If you pay attention to what they said at the time about the partnership that it opens the door for, be it against, you know, Sunni jihadism, be it, in other avenues, they and even in terms of what the United States would recognize, as Barack Obama said in 2015 about Iran and Syria, Iran's equities in the region, which means that the United States will give official recognition and legitimacy to Iranian expansionism and spheres of influence in the Middle East. And all of that was tucked under the JCPOA.
The article is in the Tablet magazine entitled The Realignment. I'm speaking with Tony Bedran of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, and Michael Duran is a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute. When we come back, two objections, one from Jerusalem, one from Riyadh, and what is to be done. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.